Welcome to A Year on Tour with Vittinghus. Here's your host, Hans Christian Vittinghus.
Hello, guys and girls, and welcome back to another episode of A Year on Tour with Vittinghus. I know I probably should change the name of the podcast as I'm not really traveling on tour anymore, but today I'm actually recording this episode sort of on the tour. I'm currently in Poland coaching the singles players at the Polish national team in their final preparations for the upcoming European Championships. And those championships will be extremely important for a lot of players. For one, because it's a European Championship, of course, but for some it's even more important than usual because it is also the final chance to score significant points for Olympic qualifying. The same goes for the Asian Championships and the Pan Am Championships, which will also be held next week. So today I will focus solely on the battle for spots in Paris later this summer. I'll give you a quick guide to how the qualifying works and then go into the most interesting battles for qualification we still have left. Because after a full year of qualifying events for many players, it will come down to this final tournament if they qualify or not. Tough for the players playing with that kind of pressure, but fun for us on the outside to follow. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. So first of all, I will go through a little bit about the rules and how many players qualify and how you qualify, just so you know how it works basically. In total, there will be 86 players of each gender. There will be 83 who qualifies directly. Then there's one spot reserved for the host and two spots that we call universality places, which is basically wildcards that are going to be given away. So 38 in each singles discipline and 32 players in each of the doubles disciplines. So 32 players, not 32 pairs. So that's 16 pairs, 32 players. If someone qualifies in both, let's say, mixed doubles and men's doubles, like Seo from Korea most likely will, or not most likely will, he will, then it opens up one extra spot because you need 86 men to go. So that extra spot will go to the singles. So that way it will not be 38 players in singles, men's singles, it will be 39. It's the same can go for the women. If someone qualifies in two events in doubles, there will be one extra spot for the singles player. So you always fill up those extra spots in the singles category. You need to have 86 players there of each gender. So you have to make it work, yeah, if someone qualifies in two events. And so to get one of these spots at the Olympics, you can't say that you need to be like top 50, top 80, something like that, because it will just go to the 38 highest ranked players in the list. But there's a big but: you can only have maximum of two representatives from one country in each discipline. So maximum two players from China or Denmark or Korea in men's singles, maximum two in women's singles, maximum two pairs in each of the doubles disciplines. So the 38 highest ranked singles players within this criteria will go, and the 16 highest ranked doubles pairs. Then there are a few other exceptions as well. So like in singles, each confederation, so Pan Am region, Asian region, European region, Oceanic region, and so on, African region, they will have at least two representatives in the draw if those players are minimum ranked 250. And in doubles, each confederation, so those five, Africa, Pan America region, Europe, Asia, and Oceania, they will have one representative in the doubles categories if that pair is ranked minimum top 50. But to make it even more complicated, those like confederation spots, you can maximum have two players qualify that way. So if they're so low on the list that that's the only way they get in, like Australia, for example, they cannot qualify a women's singles, a men's singles, and a mixed doubles only by getting these confederation places. They need to, yeah, they can only choose two of them, and then you will go to the next on the list to fill in those continental spots. I hope that kind of made sense. Even if it didn't, it's not too important. What you should know is that maximum two in all the categories, singles and doubles and so on. To qualify two players in singles, you need the players to be ranked top 16 in the world. If you don't have top 16, you will only qualify one. In doubles, to qualify two pairs, you need to be top 8 in the world rankings. Otherwise, you will only qualify one pair. And this actually leads me to one question from one of my patrons, Josephine, who's asking if, say, for example, China, they have four guys in top 16 in men's singles at the moment. So she's asking if it's up to the nation to choose who of those four will then go, because they have four in top 16, so they qualify two. And yes, it is up to the country to choose. It's quota places you get. It's not for the specific player. So even though you're world number one, if there are two other guys in top 16, or three in this case of China, you're not certain of going. It's up to your national federation to choose who's going. So in this case, where we have Xi Yuqi, we have Li Shifeng, we have Lu Guangsu and Wang Hongyang, all ranked in top 16, China can actually choose any of those four players to go, which is also why for some players, it's still very important to get into top 16, even if they have two teammates that are already ranked much higher, because that opens up a chance to actually go. Also, if, say, China chose Xi Yuqi and Li Shifeng, if one of those two gets injured before the substitution date is, then you can only substitute with a player from the same country if those players are also top 16. So that's why it's really important to still make top 16 in singles or top 8 in doubles, even if you have more countrymen ranked higher than yourself. And Josephine is also asking, what are the odds that they will do that, like choose someone who's lower ranked? And I think that very much depends on which country you're talking about and the players, like what kind of form are they in. It has happened in the past at the Olympics in London. China actually had all four women's singles in top four. And at that time, you could qualify three players if they were all top four. But they had all four women's singles in top four. And they chose number, I think it was 1, 3, and 4. So the world number two actually didn't get to go. It ended up being a wise choice because the world number four was actually the player who won the Olympics at that time, Li Shuri. So it does happen every now and then that a lower ranked player will get picked. I think last time it was also the case with Ben Lane and Sean Wendy from England in men's doubles, who got the spot over Chris Langridge and Marcus Ellis, who was the higher ranked pair at the moment, or at the time. Okay, so I think that was enough about the rules. Let's move on to something that's a little bit more interesting to talk about, namely some of the battles between the players who are still fighting to get into a qualifying spot. Let's start off with talking about men's doubles, where there are a couple of very interesting battles. So one I'm really looking forward to keep my eye on is during the European Championships, where Toma and Christo Popov, with the good result last week in Spain Masters, they just overtook Luca Corwe and Ronan Labar with just like 100 points. So that means right now the Popov brothers are actually in and qualified for the European Championships, but Corwe and Labar, they need to just go one round further than the Popovs in the European Championships. They need to win at least two matches, but if they do that, they need to go just one round further than the Popovs, and then they will overtake the Popovs and take the spot away from them. I think there's a lot of stake there, also because they're French. The Olympics are in Paris. You only get that chance once in their career to play an Olympics at home, so I think that's a really interesting one. And those two pairs have been battling all the way through, and it's been so, so close. And the draw has not made it less interesting, because Corwe and Labar, who is seeded 6, will play Geis and Fugler from Germany, who they can beat, but it's also a tough one, and they also have a chance in the second round. So they actually have a decent chance to make that quarterfinal they need. Christo and Toma, they will play Daniel Hess and Patrick Scheil from Germany, so also a tough one for them. They have Sundergaard and Toft in the second round from Denmark, so tough for them to make the quarterfinal. But if they do, on the other hand, they have a decent chance in that quarterfinal, because Lambsfuss and Seidel are out. So it will be very interesting to follow this battle, and I hope you guys will keep an extra eye on it as well. From the Asian pairs, we have Fikri and Maulana from Indonesia, who are right now number 9 in the rankings. They are just one spot behind Liu and Oh from China. They need to overtake them to make sure to qualify, because they need to make top 8, because Alfian and Arianto from Indonesia is already ranked inside top 8. Liu and Oh, for them, they also need to stay in top 8, because Wang and Liang is obviously ranked top 8 already, so to qualify they need that spot. So it's very simple, Fikri and Maulana, if they win the Asian Championships, then they're in, or they need to reach the semi-final, while Liu and Oh doesn't reach the semi-final, and also Li and Wang from Chinese Taipei don't make the final, because if that happens, Li and Wang makes the final, and Fikri Maulana lose the semi-final, then Li and Wang will be number 8, Fikri Maulana number 9, and Liu and Oh number 10. It doesn't matter for Li and Wang, they don't need to be top 8, because they will just qualify one spot for Chinese Taipei. But it's quite interesting to have them involved in this battle between Fikri Maulana and Liu and Oh. Let's move on to the women's singles, where I think there are a lot of really interesting things going on. One of the two most interesting ones is the battle between the Chinese women's singles. So Chen Yufei for sure will be the highest ranked Chinese player, but Hibing Zhao, Han Yu, and Wang Xiyi, they all fight to be the second highest ranked player from China. So they will all be top 16, so they can all be picked, but I think it's pretty realistic that the second highest one will also be the one that gets picked. Right now it's Hibing Zhao, but if Han Yu, if she makes a semi-final and she goes one round further than Hibing Zhao, she will overtake her, so that's worth keeping an eye on. Wang Xiyi, she has a very slight chance, I would say. She needs to win the tournament, and also she cannot have Hibing Zhao or Han Yu make the semi-final. So quite tough for her, but she's a Chinese women's singles player who is one of the 10 best in the world, so it's not impossible, but very tough. We also have another really, really interesting one, where it's actually a certain spot that's at stake. So Thailand right now have Ratchanok Intanon ranked in top 16, and then they have Supanita Kattathong, who's number 16. So right now she's getting that second spot for Thailand, but she has Nozomi Okuhara from Japan fighting just outside, so she's number 17. And you also have two other Thai players, Pompawi and Busanan, who are just below Okuhara in the rankings. So all those four are fighting to be in top 16. If Okuhara makes top 16, she might still not get picked, because there are two Japanese players, Yamaguchi and Ohori, ranked above her. But as I said before, it's still important for her to make top 16, because she can get picked then. And also, if one of the other two players gets injured, she will be an eligible reserve for Japan. So right now, Supanita is in front, but Okuhara, she just needs to make it one round further than Supanita at the Asian Championships. Fortunately for Okuhara, Supanita is playing Chen Yufei in the first round, so that's a very tough first round. But unfortunately for Okuhara, she's playing An Se-young herself in the first round. So to have a chance of qualifying for the Olympics, she has to beat An Se-young in the first round, and that's a pretty tall task. For Pompawi from Thailand to overtake Supanita, she needs to make the semi-final, and also, she needs Supanita to lose the first round. But again, she's playing Chen Yufei, so that's pretty realistic that that might happen. So she needs a semi-final to qualify. And of course, she also needs Okuhara to lose early. And the same goes for Busanan. She needs to make the final, though. So she needs to score a few more points. And of course, she cannot lose that final to Pompawi. Okuhara also, she has a small chance to overtake Aya Ohori from Japan, so she actually becomes the second highest ranked Japanese player, but she needs minimum semi-final and a first round loss to Aya Ohori, or make it three rounds further. So that's again very tough, considering that she is playing An Se-young in that first round match. But we'll see, so keep an eye on Okuhara, Supanita Kattathong, and Pompawi and Busanan from Thailand. It's all very, very interesting. The final battle I want to mention from women's singles is between the two Danes, Mia Blichfeldt and Line Kjærsfeld. Right now, Blichfeldt is in front of Kjærsfeld. they just play for one spot. They cannot both go. They cannot make it to top 16. And there's no guarantee that whoever is ranked highest will actually also get picked. But of course, it's not a disadvantage to be in front and be the higher ranked player. So for Line to overtake Mia, Line will need to make the semifinal, and she has to finish two rounds further than Mia. So that also means if Mia makes the final, she's safe, because then Kerstvedt can only go one step better, which would be winning. So the most realistic thing for Kerstvedt would be to make that semifinal or final, and then hope that Mia loses two rounds earlier than that. Let's move on to the mixed doubles, where there are two things I'm gonna mention. One is rather complicated because it involves a lot of pairs. So let's start with the more simple one. Right now, there is a battle between Lindemann and Wu from Canada and Chiu and Guy from USA fighting for the continental spot for the Pan Am region. Right now, Lindemann and Wu are in. Chiu and Guy, they need minimum semifinal at the Pan Am Championships next week, and they need to go one round further than Lindemann and Wu. So they need to make it one round further, and it would be, they're both seated quite high, so it would actually be quite fun to see them play a final, because in that match they would play not only for a gold medal at the Pan Am Championships, but also for a spot at the Olympics. So that would be a pretty interesting one to watch for all the spectators. There are also five pairs that are fighting for two spots, and here we're not talking about continental spots. They are just fighting to be ranked high enough to actually earn that qualification outright. So we have Selena Peek and Robin Tabeling from Holland, who are in pole position right now. We have Rino Vrivaldi and Mentari from Indonesia, who's in second place of those five pairs. So those two are in. Then we have Hian Tan from Singapore, just outside. We have Ferdinandsha and Wijaya from Indonesia after them. And we have Kusayanto and Kusumawati also from Indonesia after in fifth position of those five pairs. So for Peek and Tabeling, who it's looking really good, but to be 100% safe, they need to make the semifinal at the European Championships. If they do that, they cannot be overtaken by more than one of those four pairs, and that's enough for them to qualify for certain. For Rivaldi and Mentardi, they need to make a final at the Asian Championships, which is looking very tough for them. I think semifinal for Peek and Tabeling is definitely not unrealistic. They will be seeded for that, actually. But Rino Vrivaldi and Mentardi, if they make a final, they will be 100% safe. For the other three pairs who are outside right now, they need to perform at their absolute best and also create a few surprises. So He and Tan from Singapore, they need minimum semifinal finish for a chance. Ferdinandsha and Wijaya and Kusayanto and Kusumawati, they both need to make the final to have any chance of qualifying, and then they're still dependent on the results of Peek Tabeling and Rivaldi Mentari. So look, keep an eye on that in the mixed doubles. If Hian Tan can make the semifinal, Ferdinandsha Wijaya or Kusayanto Kusumawati, if they can make a final, they will have a chance to qualify. Two categories left. Let's start off with the women's doubles of those two. And I think the only real interesting battle right now, and the most interesting one at least, is who's going to be the second women's doubles pair from Japan to qualify. There's of course Matsuyama and Shida, who's the number one, and for sure they will be picked. Who will be picked as number two is not certain, I think, and I'm pretty certain that in Japan they will often just look at the rankings and pick whoever is ranked higher. Right now, that is Matsumoto and Nakahara, but they can be overtaken by Fukushima and Hirota. Hirota and Fukushima, they need to make the final of the Asian Championships, and they need Nakahara and Matsumoto to lose before the semifinal. If Nakahara and Matsumoto make the semifinal, then Hirota and Fukushima needs to win the Asian Championship. So with their current form in mind, it's quite tough, but it is a pair that has proven in the past that they can win some of the biggest titles. They used to be world number one as well. So it is within them to reach that, but it's looking tough. And right now it's Nakahara and Matsumoto who are in pole position of those two pairs. final discipline I'll go into is, of course, the men's singles. So there's not a lot at stake anymore at the top level. So for the top 16 guys, it's pretty much set who's like going to be the two highest ranked from the countries and who's going to make it to top 16. So what is a little bit more interesting is Toma and Christo Popov, who we talked about with the men's doubles. They've been in a really close fight throughout the entire qualifying period, but with Christo's amazing results, winning German Open and making a semi-final at the All England, he overtook Toma, who's been leading the race all the way through, so quite frustrating for Toma. But Toma, he actually made it possible for him to still qualify by making the final last week in Spain Masters, and he was so close of winning, which would have been really important for him. Because now he still has a very tough task, but he does have a chance if he makes the final of the European Championships and he's seeded 4. So he has a decent draw to the semi-final, then he will be playing Victor Axelsen. So of course, very tough to make the final, but it's just one surprise that he needs to make. And then he needs his younger brother Christo to lose before the quarterfinal. If Toma wins the European Championships, a quarterfinal loss for Christo is enough for Toma to qualify. So interesting to follow the battle. If Toma can create the miracle, of course it's looking like a better chance for Christo, but yeah, we'll see. And I'm for sure going to keep an eye on Toma. He showed last week in Spain that he's in great shape, so I'm not going to count him out completely. Other than that, I think what is mostly interesting is looking a little bit further down the list, actually at the end of who's qualifying right now. Kai Schäfer from Germany is the number one ranked guy from Germany. On the official list, he's just outside of qualifying, but that's because right now they only count 35 guys. But they will open up, and that's because you have the two wildcard spots or universality places, but there's also one spot reserved for the host. And since Thomas and Christo from France, they will already qualify, we know for sure there will be one more spot, and we also know that Seo from Korea will qualify in two events, so that again opens up for another spot in the men's singles. So most likely the highest ranked German player will qualify. Right now it's Kai Schäfer. Fabian Roth can overtake him at the European Championships if he wins over Luca Varba from Austria, and if he beats Pützel from Hungary. So if he makes a third round and Kai loses the first round, which is very likely because Kai got the worst draw possible, he will play Victor Axelsen. So that will be very interesting to follow Fabian Roth, because he's a guy that also sometimes can be hit by a little bit of nerves. So we'll see. He will for sure know that there's a lot of stake, and he will be the favorite again against both Vraba and also Pützel from Hungary. So I think you guys should keep an extra eye on how Fabian Roth is going to fare in that tournament. Right, that was a lot about who can qualify, who needs what to make it in, and who needs what to just solidify their position. I just have one more thing that I wanted to answer, and that's one question from another one of my loyal supporters on Patreon. So go to patreon.com/fittinghoos if you also want to be able to ask questions like Connor Flatley did. So Connor is saying that I know better than most that the Olympics is a weakened tournament because of the country limits. So yeah, of course, that's very true. There's a lot of top players that won't qualify. I've been in the situation twice that I was in top 16 but didn't get picked. Yeah, because there were just two other players from Denmark that were better at the time. So Connor is asking, has there ever been an occasion that I know of where the third best players in a country who missed out took a stand together across the disciplines in protest? He would like it, so Connor would like it to be very obvious to the world just how weakened the Olympic Games are. And I have to say no, there's never been an occasion like that, for sure not. I think, of course, it's annoying that you can be really high ranked in the world and not qualify. And me personally, I don't understand why it's quota places. So again, a guy who's ranked number one in the world is not even certain of going, because if there's other players from the same country ranked within top 16, it's up to the National Olympic Committee to pick who's going. I think that's absurd. I think it should just be spots for the individual player, so whoever is ranked higher qualifies. I completely understand why there has to be lots of different countries. It is a big part of the Olympics. It's big part of the reason why it gathers the entire world, why it catches the focus of everyone and why it is so big. So I understand why there are country limits, like there are also at the World Championships and European Championships and every other big championship like that. You can always discuss like how big the limitations are going to be, but for me it's fine that there can only go two from each country. I understand that principle, and I think a lot of players do that. Yeah, so for sure the Olympics is not the hardest tournament to win when you're actually there, because it's a lot weaker than, let's just say, All England or even the World Championships, where there are also some limitations. But like All England, you will see 32 best players in the world playing. You won't see that at the Olympics, for sure not. But I still think the Olympics is the most prestigious event and the hardest one to win, because it's very hard to qualify and you get very, very few chances. You only get the chance every 4 years, and it, again, it's very, very tough to qualify. And when you get there to win, you also still have to beat world-class opponents. So even though it's not the strongest lineup compared to some other tournaments, I still think it's justified why it has the prestige it has and why it's ranked as the most important event in the world of badminton. Right, guys and girls, I hope you all enjoyed this episode. I know it was a little bit long and maybe also a little bit snarky and complicated, I don't know, but I hope I also made you aware that there are some very interesting battles coming up next week at the European Championships, the Pan Am Championships and the Asian Championships. So keep an extra eye on those ones and see who qualifies in the end for the Paris Olympics. If you guys have anything else you want me to take up on the podcast, please leave your message. Send me a message on Instagram or on Patreon. I guarantee that I take up anything that my Patreons ask. If not on the podcast, I will answer them personally. So guys and girls, thanks again for your support. Thanks for listening. I'll be back soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to A Year on Tour with Vittinghus. If you enjoyed the show, please rate, share, and leave a comment in iTunes or your preferred podcast app.